In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One of my best friends from high school called me on Monday in tears. She's a doctor, and the man whom she called her favorite patient, a gentleman named Norman, had just died at the age of 54. My friend was deeply sad, but also palpably angry at Norman, and possibly even a little angry with herself. She said, "I just couldn't get Norman to take his meds or keep his appointments. He just wouldn't listen to what I was telling him he had to do to get healthy." What my friend described is actually not that rare. In fact, patient compliance, a patient doing what their doctor tells them they need to do to get healthy, is not nearly as high as we might think. When a doctor says, "You need to take this medication, or eat these foods, or not those foods, or exercise 3 times a week, or whatever it is," we don't always do it. If we did, if patient compliance were 100%, our society would see a lot less illness. Not surprisingly, the medical community and others have spent years trying to find out why patients so often fail to follow their doctor's instructions and how to change that. This confounding problem of not doing what we know we need to do to get well goes at least as far back as St. Paul himself, who said in his letter to the Romans, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Anyone who, like myself, has eaten a slice of cake while trying to lose weight knows exactly what Paul is talking about. This morning, the Gospel of Matthew gives us the very first words we hear from Jesus to the general public: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." These are, in fact, the same words spoken by John the Baptist a chapter earlier: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And just a few verses later, Matthew says that Jesus went throughout Galilee proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. So we know that the kingdom of heaven is a good thing. It's good news. The Bible says so. Over the centuries, Christians have discussed and debated exactly what Jesus meant by the term kingdom of heaven. Perhaps it means the end times, the apocalypse, which early Christians seem to have expected would come very soon. Or perhaps Jesus meant by the kingdom of heaven what most of us think when we say the word heaven: the paradise where the faithful departed rest in peace after they've run their course on this earth. Still others have said that the kingdom of heaven is right here on earth, a vision, perhaps already coming into focus, where God's will is done, where mercy and justice prevail, and where, as the prophet Isaiah foresees, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Through the work of the Holy Spirit and people of good faith, the kingdom of heaven is unfolding right here, right now. Whatever the case, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is coming and that it's a good thing. It's good news. But we need to repent. Why? Why do we need to repent? Perhaps if we don't repent, we won't be able to enter the kingdom. Maybe if we don't repent, we won't see that the kingdom is already here. Maybe if we don't repent, we won't be able to partake in the building up of the kingdom. Again, whatever the case, Jesus tells us that repentance is directly linked to how we will or will not experience the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there is something that we ourselves need to do. In the kingdom of heaven, just as in this world, patient compliance is required. The final verse in today's gospel reading says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people." This is a good summary of what Jesus' earthly ministry was about: teaching, preaching, healing. When we close our eyes and imagine these scenes, we picture Jesus being the active one and the people receiving his teachings or healings. But Jesus does something before he begins any of his healings or teachings. He gathers to himself companions to do the work of the gospel with him. Before we hear of any specific teachings or healings or casting out of demons, we hear Jesus saying to the brothers Andrew and Peter, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Chapter 10 of Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. This sending out of the apostles was completely optional for Jesus. After all, as the Son of God himself, Jesus could simply have waved his hand over the entire town of Capernaum and cured any lepers that happened to be living there. But he chose instead to send his disciples out to do that work. This tells us of God's wish that we be active participants in the coming of the kingdom of heaven. This is why we need to repent, which in Greek, the language of the Gospels, has the sense of stop what you're doing and do something different. We need to follow Christ's commandment that we stop doing things that harm ourselves or others, and instead focus our thoughts and prayers and actions on that which will build up the kingdom. Just as we need to be partners with our doctors in maintaining our physical health, we need to be partners with God in the coming of the kingdom. That's why Jesus calls and then sends out his disciples. And that's why he tells us that we need to repent. As of noon 2 days ago, we live in a nation with a new president. We will pray for him this morning, as I'm sure many of you join me in praying for him when his term began on Friday. Each of us should, of course, continue in our own prayer lives to pray for him and all our elected leaders. We will also hope that his time in office will be a blessing to all Americans. Hope, after all, is one of the three theological virtues, along with faith and love, mentioned by St. Paul, that we as Christians are called on to foster in ourselves and others. Whether or not his presidency proves to be a blessing for all who live and work in this vast land, we are always called to repent and to be partners with the Holy Spirit in the work of the gospel. Whoever happens to be president, whether it's Abraham Lincoln or Richard Nixon, Barack Obama or Donald Trump, we as Christians here at Grace Episcopal Church, the corner of Westminster and Matthewson Streets in Providence, Rhode Island, are called to open our doors to everyone, regardless of race or class or sexual orientation or nation of origin or anything else. This church has been here through all those presidencies, and it will be here when this chapter ends as well. And we will continue to do what we've been doing for almost 200 years, welcoming and caring for all in the name of Christ, as God gives us the wisdom and ability, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Amen.